The early church was right in moving Christmas from January 6th up to the solstice, or nearly the solstice. Because the Christmas story really is a good human description and drama of a cosmic event, the solstice. The solstice is good news. Christ the Savior born is good news. But in both cases, at the time of the event, it was known only to the wisest and the cognoscenti. Solstices and equinoxes are known only to the educated, the astrologers and the astronomers, the keen observers of the heavens. No ordinary person would ever say, "Ah, tonight is the solstice," the way they might say, "Oh, tonight is a full moon." We might suspect that it's coming, or we might fear that it's not, but we don't know exactly. We have to be told by others that the good news is coming. The darkness is passing. Cosmically, that's good news. If it means that a Savior is born in the form of God made human, it's good news if it means the passing in the northern hemisphere from darkness into light. It's good news if it means that ordinary folks can pass from their own personal darkness into their own personal light. There was once a man who made such a journey of the Spirit and wrote about it so clearly and passionately and preached about it that the rest of his life was devoted to it, and they made him a saint for his troubles. A Spanish saint named St. John of the Cross. His parents were conversos. You know what that is? It means they were Jewish, and they were forced to convert to Christianity in Spain. And he made a journey from darkness to light that he called the dark night of the soul. He was a Carmelite monk in 1577, when his own brothers threw him into a dungeon barely bigger than a small closet. His crime? Working with the great spiritual teacher, the Carmelite nun who became Saint Teresa of Avila, to deepen the spiritual practice of his order. In fact, he was thrown into solitary confinement. And we're hearing even today about the problems, the dark night of the soul, of people, sometimes adolescents, who experience solitary confinement today. But back in 1577, the monasteries and the nunneries were not necessarily for the spiritually inclined only. They were also repositories for the strange misfits of the society that had no place else to go. And one of the reasons St. John was thrown into prison, into solitary confinement, was that he tried with St. Teresa to bring a more spiritual discipline to the order. And he was confined in a dungeon for his problems, for his troubles. He stayed there for, it's not known exactly how long, but at least a year, if not longer. 400 years later, Evelyn Underhill, the great writer about mysticism, devoted a specific chapter to his experience where she describes the dark night of the soul. She says it's a time where a person passes through an arid landscape of blandness and stagnation. It's almost as though she were describing depression. She says it comes with a low resistance to stress, which only causes the stress to increase and come from more directions. It can cause illness. One of the great problems of the dark night of the soul is isolation from one's friends and community, which again causes a downward spiral of increased social isolation. It's an exhaustion of one's personal, emotional, and spiritual resources. The old ways of getting by just don't seem to work anymore. And finally, in the dark night of the soul, one asks the ultimate question, who am I? The old I isn't working anymore. And there doesn't seem to be a new one on the horizon. The Jewish philosopher Martin Buber tells a story about Rabbi Sussman. Rabbi Sussman dies and is about to meet his creator. He worries, I was not Solomon. I was not Moses. I was not even Maimonides or Hillel. How will the Creator judge me? When he comes before the Creator says to him, you did not have to be Solomon. You did not have to be Moses. You did not have to be even Maimonides or Hillel. What I want to know is, why were you not Sussman? Why were you not Sussman? Why did you spend your whole life not being the real person the Creator made you to be? That is the real question of the dark night of the soul. That is what St. John of the Cross discovered in his solitary confinement. How then does one move from the darkness into the light? How does one discover one's true nature and inner self? For St. John of the Cross, if you read his poem called The Dark Night of the Soul, which is online, the answer is finding oneself in union with one's beloved. Now, for centuries, this poem was considered a metaphor for the union with Christ. Maybe it is. But if you read the poem, he is clearly writing about union with his beloved, with bodies and everything. Loving who you love, being who you are, allowing yourself to be loved, that is the way into the light. And if your beloved is gone? Roger Angel, longtime fiction editor of the New Yorker and also a great baseball writer, is 95 years old and has a new book out. And he's been making the talk show circuit, and I heard him today with Diane Reams. And he said, by the time you're 65 or so, everybody is carrying around a concrete block of loss. And I would amend that to say that some of us get our concrete blocks far earlier. So how do you be yourself with your block of loss? To rediscover that love where you can, where it can be found. In community, in art, in useful work, in those who you still have. You don't have to be Jesus. You don't have to be Martin Luther King or Harriet Tubman. You don't even have to be Saul Alinsky or Gloria Steinem. What the Creator wants to know is, were you you? How do we attain that light, this authenticity? The baby whose birth we celebrate this night was one of the great teachers of telling people exactly how to do that. He said, "He who loses his life will gain it. If you lose that old I, you're better off without it. Be who you are. Let the new one emerge. The last shall be first. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Feed the hungry. Clothe the naked. Visit the prisoner. The path to one's true self, the path from the dark night to what follows, is the path, most simply, of love. We humans are in need of constant reminders of this. With each cycle of the earth, we are reminded that the literal light returns through nothing that we have done. It is a pure act of cosmic grace. And to touch our inner light, the light that lets Sussman be Sussman, we need do nothing. It comes of its own. Let it. The light that calls to us love to love. The light that calls us to be who we are. For the dark night of the soul will not last always. Rejoice, the light returns. May we extinguish the chalice, and in doing so, following that, we will get our candles and fan out around the edge of the sanctuary, and we will light them.